Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we have Sue's News on a Friday coming up here in just a couple of minutes. In the next hour, we're going to visit with our friend Tim Sommer. We talk music every other Friday with Tim. And then one of the stories that's developing in the country musically and politically is that all these artists, I don't know if you've heard about this, but Martina McBride has been the latest performer to back out of the Freedom 250 concert on the National Mall during the 4th of July. She says she's dropping out after learning that it carried far more political baggage than she had realized. So Morris Day is out. In other news, Morris Day is still around. Young MC is out. I don't really care. The Commodores are out, and I don't know if
that stinks because they're awesome.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's probably not the Commodores with Lionel, but still. A fifth artist, CNC Music Factory frontman Freedom Williams, said that he was wavering between whether to drop out or fulfill the gig. Brett Michaels, here's a surprising one. Brett Michaels, who would seemingly seem to be a good fit for a Trump crowd, he has also pulled out. So this is kind of one of those things where I don't know who's going to perform.
Who's left? Vanilla Ice?
I think Vanilla Ice.
Here's what I don't understand. How is it political? So people are now saying that if you perform there, you're a Trump person?
Well, so let me read you what...
Couldn't you just be American?
I know. And that's what Carrie sort of said when she went to the inauguration, right? But here's what Martina McBride says. I would like to talk to you to clear the air. I will not be performing at the Great American State Fair on June 25th. I was presented with an opportunity to perform at a nonpartisan event. That turned out to be misleading. I asked lots of questions. I was assured that this was all nonpartisan, just meant to celebrate all 50 states. In my mind, I thought this was a great way to celebrate the states and also bring people together.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But here's what she says. Yesterday, things started changing, and what we were told is, in fact, not what is happening. But she doesn't really say what that is.
What does that mean?
She doesn't say. She goes, I've spent my entire career singing songs about real people, real issues. I've been blessed with the opportunity to be a voice for those who have felt like they didn't have one. I mean, she was a huge star in the 90s, right? Early 2000s.
Yes.
It greatly upsets me that any fan has been moved by my music may now feel like I'm abandoning the meaning behind those songs. I assure you, that is not the case. I appreciate every single fan who's reached out.
I'm so sick of this.
Yeah, well, so then what happened was, is Ashley McBride, who is a country singer and writer, writes Amen, and then Jason Isbell, who is about one of the most loony lefties. You know, I used to like Jason Isbell, but he is so out there politically, I just stopped following him. I just wanted to hear his music. He said, whew, right? And then Sheryl Crow said, Martina, you are a beautiful artist, mother, citizen, American. You've always been exactly as you are in the moment, authentic and real, so moved by you, proud to know you. But, I mean, who's going to perform at this thing? That's kind of, we haven't spoken with Uncle Ted in a while. He may have to come out, but he's not in the best physical shape with his knees and everything. But, you know, she's got a song called Independence Day,
yes,
right? And that's a song that's not about the 4th of July. It's
correct,
about a woman who's being, you know, abused by her husband.
Yes, and she,
right?
Yes.
So I guess there were some worried that that would be, you know, misinterpreted to a certain extent, like Born in the USA has always been misinterpreted. I mean, that's not a rah-rah American song. That is an anti-Vietnam War song.
Yeah, this is not a new song. She's been singing it for decades.
No, but look, here's the...
And we all know it. Okay. Well, anybody who knows that song knows what's it about.
This is very simple,
How
Sue.
Is that? No, this is so dumb.
It's very, very, very simple. They're being... you know, threatened by their other artists, and they're afraid of losing friends. And I get it, because I've lost friends, and they don't want the hassle at this point. And it's sad because, you know, one of the reasons I even was very, you know, emphatic about Trump winning that election is because I couldn't even foresee a situation where Kamala Harris and her administration were overseeing the 250th birthday of this country. So I don't even know why these artists have been locked down a long time ago. And, you know, some of these plans have been underway for a long time. So I don't know how you salvage this, because if you keep asking people and they keep saying no, well, then what do you have, right?
So I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen.
It's such a shame.
Kid Rock and Vanilla Ice, that's going to basically be it, I think, for the performance. It is a shame, but everyone has TDS, and you can't do anything. You know, look what happened to the hockey team over the... you know, over the course of last year, or even the World Baseball Classic. You can't say anything nice about Trump, because if you do, you're, you know...
Or the football quarterback.
But you would think this particular occasion would rise above that. This is about the birthday of America.
Right.
This isn't a Trump rally. This isn't a political anything.
But they think that anything connected to Trump means you support Trump and you support everything he said, and that makes you a Nazi, and that makes you someone that we don't like, and we're disappointed in you. How can you lend a hand to anything that this guy's all about? That's it. And Fred, you said the quarterback. You're talking about Jackson Dart, who simply introduced Trump, and then he got a bunch of flack, even from some of his own teammates. Because, look, the hatred is it's real, and it's deep, and it's, you know, TDS is not fake. These are people that are consumed. I've told you about this. There's people on Facebook that, you know, I see some of my former colleagues who are supposedly retired, and all they do every day is, you know, Facebook posts about Trump. First of all, no one cares, really, except for the other people who hate Trump. I told you on that string that I was talking about from the last hour that was about the income tax, there was not one person on that entire string that said, hey, you know, we aren't going to have to pay thousands in income tax, so maybe that's going to offset the sales tax. No one wanted to consider that. They all wanted to buy into the talking points. This is a power grab. I heard Scott Charton on KMOX. Scott's a longtime reporter, used to be with the AP, exposed himself in recent years as being a whack job nut liberal. And I still consider him a friend, but he knows where I stand on this because he's crazy. And he's one of the people that's working against that ballot proposal because he's working for the realtors and somebody else, and he's shilling for them and making money. And that's fine. But I heard him on the other morning lying about all this. So look, I don't know what to do because people are in their own world. They're going to believe everything. My concern on the income tax situation is not a bunch of lefty wackos who hate Trump on Facebook. It's conservative people who are older than 60, the group that most likely votes, who also don't want this thing right now. Now, they don't want it, I think, for perhaps the wrong reasons, and I think they're buying into some of the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But I said in the last hour, it's working, and I think that that thing fails miserably. We do have the governor on next week, don't we, Fred?
Right. Yeah,
so we'll ask him what he thinks, and I will tell you that there's some questions that I think really do deserve to be answered in that situation, because he puts it on the August ballot. This is very risky for Mike Kehoe. It really is. So you guys can't remember. Fred, you've been to Hawaii?
No, I haven't.
You haven't been. Sue?
I have not.
Okay. It's wonderful there. I would highly recommend it.
You know what? I haven't been there, and I know that.
It's one of my favorite places on the planet. It really is. I've never been to Kauai, but I want to do that next because I have some friends that got a small place on Kauai. But listen to this.
Now that's a different island.
It's a different island. Yeah, I've been to Oahu. That's where, you know, Waikiki Beach is. And Jack Lord, I believe he's there still. Did you guys even get that? Come on.
I'm laughing.
Hawaii 5-0. Okay, come on. I was like,
sorry.
Yeah. You looked at me like I was drawing a name out of the past that wasn't real or something like that.
I was just thinking,
then you have the Big Island. I don't know. You have the Big Island of Hawaii, and then you have Maui. Maui is awesome. That would be my favorite of those three. But there's some places on Waikiki Beach is really kind of incredible. It's fun to just watch people and see the surfers. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because a popular Japanese chain, hotel chain, has opened its first U.S. outpost near Waikiki Beach. And it's not rooms, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pod. So Dawn Gilbertson, who writes about this in the Wall Street Journal, says, My roommate woke up one by one at sunrise last week, zipping open their suitcases and sleepily walking into the bathroom. I had already made the trek. It was like being back in college, except this was a shiny new dorm that was in an office building a block from Waikiki Beach. None of us was a student. We were all staying at the cheapest pods at the First Cabin International Hawaii, the first U.S. outpost of the popular Japanese capsule hotel chain. And it opened a year ago with 103 pods. I think we might have even talked about that.
Yeah, because I saw some in Japan.
So that's right. So look, Fred, does this match up kind of with what you saw?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is interesting.
Let me see.
It's like a large animal crate.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's a cheap way to do it. Oh, I get it.
But that's what they're saying. They're basically saying, like, look, you have a lounge in there that has ocean views. It's kind of, I think it's like staying at a hostel maybe to a certain extent. I've stayed at hostels when I was much younger. But it's wedged on a great strip of Waikiki Beach. It runs parallel, and apparently, you know, they punch a code into a keypad to gain entrance into the cabin.
Interesting.
It's a custom code that's assigned at the front desk. It gets you into your pod wing. From there, you have bathrooms and showers. I mean, those are not in the pod. The building is closed from midnight to 6 a.m. Guests need to prearrange entrances or exits or buzz an intercom during those hours. And early check-in is an extra $17. She said, I happily paid $34 after a 6.5 hour early morning flight to Honolulu. But how much is the damn room? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. How much
you mean
it costs
the pod
for the pod?
Or
yeah,
the...
for the pod itself. Because you got the $17 add-in, you know.
Well, you know, that's appealing-ish. I think I'm too old to sleep. I mean, I could sleep in a pod, but would I like it? No, I'd rather stay at Cousin Andy's place. But my point is this. If you're going to do that, that's great. The only thing that stinks would be like shared bathrooms. Right.
Yeah, you gotta. So anyway, she said there's a different tier in some of these too. So she says she did like a first class upgrade. My second night was more luxurious. Make no mistake, this was not a luxury stay, but I could stand up. So here's the other pods.
Oh, you can't stand up.
These are pods that you can stand up in.
Now that's
the upgrade.
That's better.
Yeah, the other one you can't. This looks like what this one looks like is sort of like almost being on a train or something, having
right.
your own.
That looks like a fancy train car.
Yeah. But she even said she could stand up in the first class pod with a ceiling height of 7 feet and total space of 47 square feet. There's a TV and mirror that are bigger. There was a small table. So again,
it's a good idea.
It is kind of a good idea. I guess the first. Let's see here.
I bet that mattress is terrible.
But how,
I'm just throwing it out
you're
there.
Probably right. Okay, but what they're not giving me exact prices, but what they say essentially is the bill for two nights was far less than the price of one night at hotels up and down Waikiki Beach. Somebody actually paid first cabin on Expedia and paid $66 per economy pod. That's pretty
good.
Wow. I mean, if that's all, especially if you're a young person, by the way,
yes.
and you don't care, go out there, go to Hawaii, have some fun. I like that. All right, Sue's News coming up.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever watch that show, How I Met Your Mother?
No, I never did.
It was actually pretty good for a while. So, and, you know, entertaining, funny, interesting that they have a podcast, but it's been one of those shows that's kind of lived out there on the streaming services. All right, we got to do this here. Stand by. No, we do not. That was total user error. How about this one here?
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, Alexa Reardon asked me if I prefer pancakes or waffles, and I've been thinking about it ever since then. And I'm really hungry. I came down on pancake because, you know, you could put all kinds of stuff in there, right? You can do blueberries, you could do banana, walnut, you could do all that stuff. But the pockets of butter on a waffle.
Oh, you can't really
you
beat
can't
that,
really
can
beat
you?
It.
By the way, Alexa Reardon, if you want to blab on the radio, this is your chance and maybe your only chance. So just keep that in mind. She's over there on her iPad right now.
Okay.
But she said to me, coming, do I get to talk? I'm like, well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if we have a movie review. Maybe she'd like the next segment, too.
All right, we'll invite her.
It's National Paperclip Day. Huh? My husband likes a paperclip.
We use a lot of paperclips.
I'm telling you.
I'm a jumbo paperclip guy.
Oh, my gosh, so is he. What is that? You just like it. You get more stuff in it. And they have the ridges. The ridges hold more.
Yep. He puts my packet together with
the... I'll be darned. Do you recycle them? I mean, every day you look for the... Oh, you get a new one every day for it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
do you do the same thing that I do, though? You kind of unwind them and, you know, play with them, too?
No, but I
do that.
Of course
of that
you do.
In my studio.
Because I do
when
it.
When you're there.
Yeah, because I open them up and I just kind of play with them.
Oh,
I have this little squishy stress ball and I have a paperclip poked into the top of its head in my office, actually.
Yeah, that sounds right. And it's also National Coca Vine Day. You know, that chicken dish. They used to serve it at college. Yeah, it's
Wait,
got
what
some...
is it?
The coca bean.
No. In college.
C-O-Q-A-U-V-I-N.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I think it's French. I think that's how you say
my
it.
My dorm was not serving French food.
Oh, it wasn't in the dorm. Yes. It was also, it is National 529 Day. The tax advantage accounts for kids' education. Did you have those, Fred, for the boys?
Were they around then? I don't know.
Are they new? Do you have them?
They're relatively new. Alexa's not smart enough to go to college. Are you kidding me? I don't have to worry about that at all.
Oh, my gosh. Ignore him. Ignore him, Alexa.
Did she hear that? She didn't even hear it. She's ignoring me.
Okay, this has music, and you might as well hit it now. Because 84 years ago today, in 1942, Bing Crosby recorded this song on a hot spring day.
Christmas. You know, I have read quite a bit of more modern artists talking about recording Christmas music because, to your point, they don't do it in December at the holidays.
No.
They do it in the spring and summer, but they decorate the studios and they try to get in as much of a mood as they possibly can. Yeah, because anyone who puts out Christmas music has to do it well before Christmas.
Well, that's true. In order for it to come out to then.
Exactly.
But I just like it. This is my favorite version of White Christmas.
I'm sorry, did you say this at the start? This is isn't this the biggest selling song?
I did not say it at the start because I don't know, Fred, but it might be. If you want to Google that, do you have a computer over there?
Oh, no.
Of course not. Claude.
Oh, okay. That was 84 years ago today. Side note, every now and then the High Point Theater during Christmas will run Christmas movies, and they've done this with White Christmas before. It's great. You see it on the big screen.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
You know
they have the best popcorn there. Oh, great. Okay, more music. On this day in history, 42 years ago today, it's 1984, and Tina Turner released her big comeback album. Oh, yes. The album itself called Private Dancer, which included What's Love Got to Do With It, But This Is My Jam.
That's a great song.
Oh, so good. Can you name it, Fred?
Prisoner of your love.
Entangled.
Better Be Good to Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot whispers.
Oh, I'm so lucky. I got to see her one time in concert.
Oh,
early 2000s.
That.
One of the top five shows probably
Dang
I've ever
it,
seen
Mark.
In my life. She
I
was
wish
so
I,
good.
Let's see. The other one on here is What's Love Got to Do With It, of course, in Private Dancer, and Better Be Good to Me. Ah, so good. Then 22 years ago today, in 2004, the World War II Memorial was dedicated in Washington, D.C. after a four-day reunion of veterans at the National Mall. I remember that news coverage at the time. It was very touching.
I really wish I could have gotten my dad to see it.
Oh, that would have been cool. Did he say no, he didn't want? What happened?
No, I guess it just never really came up.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like,
by the way, yes, White Christmas is...
Thank
widely
you, Fred.
Regarded by the Guinness Book of World Records as the best-selling single of all time.
Oh, that's cool.
See, while you're doing that, can I just
offer...
Can
you crank him up? Thank you.
Can I offer... Well, Fred needs to get on that microphone
you,
a little
Ethan.
Bit more, too.
Oh, he's new.
Can you... just a little quick note about You Better Be Good to Me, too. I didn't know this, but Cy Kernan from The Fix was singing background vocals. And apparently in the video of
really?
That, you see him
what?
Grabbing Tina Turner's arm. I never knew that. That's
I
crazy.
I did not either. That's
Another guy
awesome.
From the guitarist, Jamie West Oram, also The Fix, performed on Private Dancer. I didn't know that. That's just a Wikipedia thing telling me that right now. So that's interesting.
And 17 years ago today, in 2009, Pixar's Up was released. I do love Up.
The best. That's my
it's
favorite.
Just it's just so
it's
good.
My favorite. I watched it again recently, a couple of months ago.
Squirrel.
It really is.
Okay.
It's just so sad when
is
she
so
writes
sad.
When she writes thanks for the adventure. Now go have
it.
Another. Right? That it's just
it kills
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it does.
It kills you. Blue Origin's new Glenn rocket exploded in a massive fireball while undergoing a test on a launch pad in Florida last night. I'm sure you've seen it. Thankfully, there were no injuries. Of course, Blue Origin is the space company owned by Jeff Bezos. But the video is going around, and it is quite something.
So we have a guest that's going to address that issue, our friend Mac Bradley, who's really a great local space expert and writer, and he'll have some opinions. I mean, that is just, it's not the first time something like this has happened, but, you know, all that money, research, development, effort, just boom, just went up, right?
Well, they say, a biotech company is saying, anyway, that it has developed a 3D printed artificial egg capable of hatching chicks.
Come on.
I can't even understand how you make a ruler.
Exactly.
And they say it could open the door to saving endangered birds or even reviving extinct species. I find that a little... The system uses a specially designed membrane that allows oxygen to pass through, and this mimics the natural egg conditions. So far, the technology has successfully produced chicks, but it's pretty far away from having a de-extinction capability.
If you do between AI and this stuff, I mean, we're going to have dinosaurs roaming the planet. They really are, and this I'm not making this up. They're trying to bring the woolly mammoth back in parts of Russia because of environmental reasons, because they actually help. So I feel like the computers are going to take over and the animals.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Essentially.
We've got nothing.
Right.
The 2025-26 TV season just ended, and shocker, shockers, Stranger Things dominated the charts. The data was collected from mid-September to mid-April over both streaming and broadcast TV. Now, I do need to mention, though, that sports were not included. Otherwise, Sunday Night Football would have been number one. But here are the top five. Number five was Landman. That was Paramount Plus.
Loved it.
Number four, Sean Combs, The Reckoning on Netflix. Number four. Number three, Marshalls on CBS, Paramount Plus. Number two, His and Hers on Netflix, which I don't even know what that is. Do you? We can ask Paul.
You know, I watch so many of these things. Sounds like something maybe I would have watched. I'll look it up. Keep going.
And Stranger Things, of course.
Okay, that was number one.
I'm surprised that Marshalls on CBS, you know, like a regular CBS network
show,
made it.
Yeah. I haven't ever watched that. I have not been watching much.
Okay, wait a second. His and Hers was
What is it?
Yeah, I didn't watch that. Tessa Thompson and John Bernthal, who I like a lot. That's
maybe you should do it. You were looking for something.
How in the world have I missed that?
I don't know. It's number two.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I'm going to put that on the list for sure.
Okay, now we've got a little bit of new music that's come out this weekend. So I present you with, Mark has it, Paul McCartney, new music, The Boys of Dungeon Lane. This is his 20th solo album. And Ringo Starr is a guest, but not on this song.
This one's called Days We Left Behind. And what's interesting is...
Looking back at white and black, reminders of my past.
Tim Summer's going to come up in the next hour. We're going to talk a bunch of music, and we're going to talk about this album because it's getting, I think Rolling Stone gave it a 5-star review. Tim said he loves like the last four tracks, but he thinks that this song sounds a lot like a Mott the Hoople song. And he actually said there might be a lawsuit. So,
really?
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, when these things sound similar. So that's coming up in the next hour. But yeah, that's out today, I think, the full album.
Okay, this is random, but Violet Grohl, as in Dave Grohl's daughter, has a new album out called Be Sweet to Me. Here's a little bit.
Do we know how old Violet is?
No, I should have looked that up.
Strange that it's guitar rock.
Right?
I never expected that, right? I love it, though. I like it. I like her voice, right?
I thought you might.
Okay, I'm going to investigate that.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
Okay.
Look, this stuff does run in the families. There's, I don't know, that musical talent, man. It's handed down, right?
Yeah, I think that it is. And I love family harmonies, too.
Yeah.
They sing it together. There's nothing better. And finally, in Sue's news, a very important random fact. Platypuses don't nurse their babies like other mammals. No, no. Instead, they concentrate their milk, Fred, in their stomach and then sweat it out. I can't
milk
make that
never
up if
a
I try.
Choice.
Hey, we'll go out with Violet Grohl here. We're coming back with Paul Hall.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. And in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, Sue, let's start with that question to Mr. Paul Hall from Common Guy Films, because my guess is that at one point this year he talked about the show His and Hers, but we didn't really remember much about that. Did you see that with John Bernthal?
series came out in the real beginning of the year. I think it was like the first or second week of January. And it's really a tale of two exes in a small town and going back and forth about who knows what. And it really was an engaging show for the most part throughout the entire season.
Yeah, that one sort of eluded me for some
reason. Ethan said he saw it. He said it was good, but dark.
Yes, very dark. Yeah. Very dark throughout and definitely for adults. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of adult scenes in there.
What do you got for this week? What do you want to talk about? I wasn't here last weekend, so I'm not sure what you were promoting heading into Memorial Day weekend, but we have some theatrical releases, right? What was the big weekend opening last week was...
Mandalorian and Grogu, and Star Wars, and it's dying.
Yeah, it underperformed, quickly. Didn't it?
It did. In fact, by Wednesday... it was no longer the number one movie in the theaters that week, or on Wednesday. It was passed by Obsession, which is a horror movie that's kind of a niche horror movie that was doing bang-up business in theaters as well, and it's still selling out shows, I can tell from experience on that one. But Mandalorian and Grogu, it's good, but it could have been two episodes of Mandalorian on TV. But it's
right.
it's decent it's a decent movie, though.
All right, so what do you want here to start with right now?
Let's start with the family comedy of the weekend called The Breadwinner.
I do not have a cut for that, so just take it from here.
Nate Bargatze. Now, I guess, Mark, I'm not as plugged in on the comic scene, but Nate Bargatze, yes, no? Do you like him?
I do. I do. I don't know enough about him. I do know that our good friend here in St. Louis, Greg Warren, who's an outstanding comedian, has really been taken under Nate's wing, and he's given Greg a lot of exposure. So I think he's funny. The movie looks awkward to me, just watching the trailers.
Well, it is a bit awkward, but it's for the families. It's basically kind of one of those home improvement-esque type things where Nate takes over the family as his wife Mandy Moore plays Katie Wilcox here. She gets a position through Shark Tank. So we get the Shark Tank folks are along the ride here. Colin Jost is here, Kumail Nanjiani, Will Forte. It's a really nice cast of characters that come together to form something that the whole family can enjoy. It's not doing a whole lot yet. It just opened today, but even the pre-shows yesterday were a little light. I found myself laughing throughout and think it's one of those films that you can go to with the kids, not be ashamed of everything, have a good time, and go home.
Yeah, because, Sue, he's kind of one of the things that we like about Greg is he's got clean humor, right?
Yeah,
he's not dropping a bunch of F-bombs. And I think Nate's kind of like that too, right?
Yeah, this is a PG-rated movie, and everything about it is just kind of encompassing everyone. There's no one that's kind of left out. He's that typical guy that... you know, he wants to win the breadwinner, and the wife is running the house, and now he has to run the house. And we know how that turns out when you put the guy in charge and he's never run the house before. Not good.
I wouldn't know because I've always run the house, so I would not know that.
That's fair.
But I think that could be problematic. All right, so decent family movie. I want to ask you, so I watched the, and they always release these on Thursdays, which I like. I watched the last episode, the more recent episode, it's not the final. I think we still have one or two more of your Friends and Neighbors. And I got to tell you, that... I think that show has been solid this season. It really has. And I was worried about it in the first couple episodes, but they've really kept my interest. And John Hamm and James Marsden together really are outstanding. And last night's episode really got intense. So I know that that's out right now. Do you know if there's just one more of that? Is the finale next week or do they have a couple more?
Finale is next week.
Okay,
so
all right.
If you're engaged in that, definitely stick around throughout the finale. It's a doozy, and I don't know if I like the finale or not, but I believe it already has been renewed for a season three.
Well, last night, and sometimes you get the penultimate episode has more things that happen, but last night certainly was very, very interesting the way that it ended. Now, I was on Apple TV Plus, you know, because I wanted to watch that last night, and I almost pressed go on this show Star City. That's something new this week on Apple TV Plus. What can you tell us about that?
It is. It's you know, the space race between Russia and America. Now, we've always looked at it, even in fictitious series like this, from the American perspective. This takes it from the Russian perspective. And knowing what we know about what kind of went on, we know there's a lot of, let's just say, mistruths that go around throughout the entire Russian side of the coin. Reese Infantz is our lead here. He's the chief designer. He's the guy who basically... the Russians claim everything in their design pool is being stolen by the Americans. They claim to have put a man on the moon. They claim to have put a woman on the moon. And they make the people believe it. And it's all about everything behind that. It's kind of intriguing if you like that drama type thing behind the scenes. I enjoyed the first couple episodes that I've seen already. But if it keeps going, I don't know. I think it might get long in the tooth and it might lose a little steam
now,
as the season goes.
Is that, I'm sorry, maybe I missed something here. Is that loosely based on like real facts or not?
I don't know, honestly, if it was based on real facts or not, but it's definitely telling a story because I did go to the books and look things up to see, you know, what were the Soviets claiming at the time. And I didn't find anything that talks about them reaching, you know, in their mind, they reached the moon first. In my mind, they cured cancer first. In my mind, they cured, you know, in their mind, I should say.
Right.
Hey, so what about, have you seen Pressure with Brendan Fraser?
Man, if you're looking for a good historical drama, this is the adult movie to go to the theaters for.
Well, let me play the clip here.
D-Day is in 61 hours from now. This is the largest seaborne invasion in history. Fate of the war, thousands of lives hinge on this. I need a forecast.
We are faced with a succession of two aggressive storms.
Are you absolutely certain?
D-Day will be calm and sunny.
I couldn't disagree with that more.
Well, if we know one thing, D-Day was not calm and sunny. We know that for sure. But Brendan Fraser plays Dwight Eisenhower here.
He does. And it's kind of hard to get over some of the things he's played in his life, the characters he's played. And here he's Ike. And it's the tale of a lot of pressure. When you talk about pressure, it's not only the pressure physically, but it's also meteorological. They're looking at the weather forecast. They're talking about a guy who's kind of the chief forecaster under Churchill and brings him in, and he's alongside the American forecaster. And one of them is telling everybody it's going to be sunny, and one of them is telling them, no, 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 this is going to be a catastrophic failure as far as the weather goes. You'll have to see the movie to get all that details. But quite frankly, at the end of this film, and Mark, you, as you well know, screenings are becoming a kind of a premium in cities all over the country. At the end of this one, and I did get an advanced screening of it, the crowd cheered, and that's a rarity in this type of thing.
Wow.
I like this one a lot. This is for the adults. I mean, I took my daughter to it as well because I said she had to see it. I forced her and took her to see it. She enjoyed it. It was very interesting from start to finish. Pressure is in theaters, and also for adults this weekend, Tuner is in theaters. This one is Dustin Hoffman alongside of Leo Woodall, the story about a piano tuner who knows a little bit more than he should because he's got some hearing issues, and he finds out he can listen to safes and crack safes, and so he gets involved with some of the wrong people along the way. Dustin Hoffman, it's good to see him in a good role, meaty role here as well. I enjoyed Tuner a lot. That's also in theaters this week.
That's an original idea.
Yeah, that is a really original. I haven't seen any marketing for that whatsoever, so, which is interesting. I've seen the Pressure marketing, the ads, and it's intrigued me because, you know, Brendan Fraser looks nothing like, you know, he used to. He keeps coming up now in this era of his acting career with very, very unique, you know, challenging roles. Yeah. So I like that quite a bit. Anything else streaming-wise you want to mention here, Paul?
Yeah, I think the only other one I want to mention this week is season two of The Four Seasons has hit Netflix. This is, if you watch the season one, you know we had a little bit of a shocking ending at the end of season one, but we bring back all the original characters like Tina Fey, Will Forte, Kerry Kenny, Coleman Domingo, and in fact some of them do the directing chores behind the camera as well. It's funny, it's fun, it's a group of friends kind of living life after a tragedy and doing some fun things together. I find it enjoyable. It's nice and quick episodes. It's about 30 minutes apiece, so you can get through a bunch of them at a time.
So we are, I mean, obviously it's June 1st here in a couple of days. When does Toy Story open?
Ooh.
June 12th, I believe. So we got a couple weeks till we get to that one. But the marketing is ramping up for it. You're going to see it just about everywhere over the next probably two and a half weeks here into it and into that first week of it. Next week we get a couple interesting things. You get Masters of the Universe, which you can either say you've seen the trailers and it looks terrible or it looks great. Power Ballad comes out next week with Nick Jonas, so he's going to bring people along with Paul Rudd. and we get another take on Scary Movie. I don't know if we need it or not.
I would say no.
I'm going to
say no. But
I will see it whether you want to or not. I will see it and let you know whether you should.
I'm kind of. Have you seen? Because one thing that's going to start next week, I think, or in a couple of weeks, I think it is next Friday. Cape Fear on Apple TV. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, I will say. I can't say I have. And I couldn't put it down.
All right,
so
good. That's good.
Let's put it there, and good people behind it.
These Apple TV Plus shows have been really, really rock solid, I think. All right, we got to go. Tell folks where they can find your reviews.
ComGuy.com.
We'll see you. Friday afternoon, Frank Cusimano from KSTK with us as the Cubbies are in town. It's interesting, Frank, because the Cubs are 2-8 in their last 10 games. The Cardinals 3-7, so they're not really finding each other at the best time of the season, are they?
You know, it's amazing. I was thinking about this, Mark. It's probably the most anticipated baseball series in history between two teams where one has lost 10 out of 11 and the other's lost 7 out of 9.
I know,
right? I mean,
right?
It's the Cubs and Cardinals.
But this is important because, look, the Cardinals, let's be honest, they've been on a little bit of a slide here. The offense has gone quiet. I don't know. I mean, is your opinion these pitchers are kind of figuring these guys out at this point? Do we need to settle in and buckle up, or what's your thought?
Well, no, I think that there's a real problem with the Cardinal lineup 5 through 9. And they made some moves today that's going to help that lineup. Nelson Velasquez, who's hit like, you know, Babe Ruth the last, you know, 15 days in Memphis and was their best hitter in spring training, he's going to be in the lineup and playing tonight. He was recalled. And then I think the most interesting one is Jimmy Crooks. Look, Mark, this guy has 13 home runs. He has a 1,000 OPS. You have a real deficiency offensively at the catching position. You have a guy who's just 4 hours away in Memphis. He got the call. He's not in the lineup tonight, but I think they're going to play him like 3 or 4 days a week. They got options, and they're going to start using some of those options right away.
Yeah, Frank, I want to talk a little bit about the catching situation, and this will be a big change. Joel Pozo is going back to AAA, and now it looks like, rather than shifting this around to where Jimmy Crooks would be the, you know, bottom man on the totem pole, he's going to, it sounds like, get a really good chunk of playing time here, and Pajes is going to be moved to the number 3 catcher, and Herrera will remain with his rotation of 2 times through the rotation. What are your thoughts on the Cardinals going from Pajes getting the majority to what looks like will be Jimmy Crooks now?
Yeah, and you have to remember, Ivan Herrera has not thrown out a runner all season long as a catcher. I love him. He's my favorite player. I think he's their best offensive player overall. But I'm not sure if you can catch him 7 days a week, maybe 2 days a week. But I think from now, at least for the next month or so, we have to find out about Jimmy Crooks, whether he hit big league pitching. Now, here's the thing, too, is everybody talks about his strikeouts. I don't care about his strikeouts. If his on-base percentage is over 400 and he has 13 home runs and he has almost a 1,000 OPS, he deserves the right to be get a chance in the big leagues. It'd be like if you were casting a movie and Tom Cruise could not read his lines and John Hamm is waiting in the wings. You got to play John Hamm.
Yeah.
You got to play Jimmy Crooks and find out.
So, you know, let's just run it. We don't have a lot of time because this is hours and hours and hours of a conversation when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement. But we had both sides kind of opening up with their, you know, their initial salvos this week. They're far, far apart, Frank. But thoughts, look, you know, it's just going to make those of us who are big baseball fans sick if this thing can't get worked out and we go into a lockout and have a season that's affected next year.
Yeah. You know, I think if you're a Cardinal fan, there's one positive in this, because the Cardinals are going to have to spend like $70 more million to get to that limit, which is like, or that ceiling, no, the floor, which is $176 million. So you know what could happen if you're a Cardinal, fan, you could see like J.J. Weatherholt and Jordan Walker locked up, and maybe Dustin May signed for another year if they have to get to that figure of at least $176 million. But the last thing we want is any type of work stoppage, because as we've seen with the TV ratings in the World Series, baseball is in a really good place right now, Mark.
Where are you on the salary cap issue? I support it.
Oh, yeah. If you have if you make teams spend at least $176 million, and you cap it at maybe like 250, 260, that definitely, you know, evens out the playing field. And they're going to put in this Larry Bird type of rule, which I think is okay, that if you have a player that you've developed in your organization, that maybe he won't like count against the cap if it's somebody you want to pay and keep in your franchise forever.
Ethan, you're against the salary cap, right? Were you telling me that yesterday? Why? In short form here.
I am hesitant. I think that all of these owners could put in a lot more money than they're willing to. Or should I say the bottom however many teams in baseball. There's some teams, I think, that are just completely take advantage of having owning teams and not putting in the money that they should be putting in.
But that's why the floor would help.
I don't think that it is right to punish teams like the Dodgers and, you know, some of the other top spending teams when they are the ones that are trying to compete. I would not be against a floor necessarily. I don't think that a cap is going. I think the floor would accomplish everything that we needed to, because those teams are going to be required to spend more. Naturally, that is going to take away some of the competition from those top teams in the spending.
Yeah, I think, though, that Rob Manfred, I think that they, maybe they do, but I don't know that they understand what the fans want here. And I don't know that the players understand what the fans want, so that's going to be interesting to watch moving forward.
Fans want baseball.
They want baseball. We are very close to a Stanley Cup final, aren't we? Carolina wins, and they play tonight, right? So they could wrap it up, that series?
Yes, they can. And look, Carolina's been good against Montreal, but with what Vegas did to Colorado,
unreal.
It's crazy. So I'd have a tough time picking against the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final.
You know, I was out there last week, and my friends are season ticket holders. It is incredible what that franchise has done in 10 years, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And what it does, it sets up all four professional sports thinking, hey, you know what? We definitely need to be in Las Vegas. Baseball will be in Las Vegas. The NBA is going to be in Las Vegas. And we know the NFL, although they stink, they're in Las Vegas too.
All right, Frank, what's coming up on Sunday night's show?
Chaim Bloom, up close and personal about the future and the present of the Cardinals.
All right, well, that'll kind of give you a lot to talk about, won't it? I can't wait to hear that. All right, hey, have a great weekend. We'll talk next on Monday.
Okay, guys, take care. Thank you.
All right, that's Frank Kuzma. I maybe left a little bit more time for him. I didn't realize he was just going to focus on that one thing, Ethan, but he did. So there you go. I'm not really watching. Are you watching any of the NBA finals?
No.
Or the playoffs?
Because they're
almost to the finals. And it's tough for me because, like, there have been certain times in my life when I was an NBA fan.
Me too.
I lived in NBA cities. But this guy, and, you know, I'm not even comfortable with saying his name. Wembanyama, is it Wembanyama?
Oh, Wembanyama.
That guy, you know, the country doesn't really know how good he is at
it's
this
a cheat
point.
Code.
Like he's like the next Giannis, right? He's back.
Have you seen
this guy play for the Spurs?
I have not, okay. And I do like NBA, but I haven't watched.
Victor Wembanyama was the number one pick in 2023. His nickname is the Alien because he's 7'4".
Oh my gosh! I love that.
He can shoot.
He can shoot three.
He can do everything.
He's not limited
he's
to the inside. He's shooting 3-pointers from beyond the arc like it's nothing.
Wait, that's fun.
It's like if Yao Ming was athletic.
Yes.
It's literally like that.
And because,
he will be the best player in the NBA for the next 10 years.
Yes, that's how good he is.
Okay, I kind of love that.
So
that might give me
to
watch.
If the Spurs make it to the finals, and they could, that would definitely be the Knicks and Spurs will be interesting.
Get more at 971talk.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.